Well met, adventurers, and welcome to Mage Productions. Today we're going to talk about house rules. Rules we use at the table, maybe as opposed to rules as written, maybe in conjunction with them, or whatever. Today I am joined by...
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Brad.
And I'm Joe. But who are you?
I'm Lee. Did I say that already?
I don't think so. I didn't hear it, at least.
Okay. Now everyone knows.
Well, now I have.
Attention, so.
We've done it. We have a full table tonight.
Woohoo!
I feel like this is a big topic.
We're only missing Kate.
She'll come eventually. She will.
Maybe. I don't think she likes us that much.
No.
She'll probably come with more rules.
She's just in it for the
gaming. It's a rules game. Let's do this.
All right. House rules. Why don't we go around and share our favorites or ones we've experienced or our least favorite that have totally sucked and ruined everything for us? Kyle, do you want to start?
Sure. So one thing that we've made use of that I really like is starting feet. And if you've listened to our podcast and our campaigns, I really like to get heavy into RP. And I think that adds just another layer that you can do that. It shapes how you act, how you battle. If you had something, let's say, like Keen Mind, you know, that would shape you remembering everything that you ever gone through. And I just think it just really adds another powerful level to your role-playing arsenal.
So just a free starting feat at that character generation phase.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a house rule.
So maybe not just a variant human, maybe everyone starts off with a feat. I really like that.
So I like this from my perspective as a DM because it gives the players an extra something for their character.
Indeed.
A little bit more flavor.
A little bit
right
more.
There at the beginning.
I don't always make all feats available.
Correct.
Because I don't feel like all of them should be available at that point.
That's what, yeah. That's
later
what
down the
done.
Road.
Like cool. Our last campaign when we started, you gave us a list of these feats.
Right.
Pick one, but when you pick one, have a justification for why your character would have this.
Exactly.
So it's not like, I'm just going to go over here and pick
right.
this.
Power gaming function.
Oh,
yeah. No,
I
no,
have
no.
weapon mastery now.
Now you're a pole arm master,
don't.
Even though you've never picked up a
right.
spear.
You're
yet.
A level one
you
pole master.
You could be lucky, or you could be alert, or something like that, but you're not going to be a pole arm master at level one.
And so. You have to have a story behind it.
Exactly. There has to be a justification
right.
for it.
Ties to your background.
That's a fun house rule.
It is. It's a good one. Brad?
I've enjoyed, recently we've been doing critical roles, instead of doing the rules as written, we've been using these new decks, these cards, that
mm-hmm.
are made by Nord Games.
Wow. These things are ridiculous.
Yes, they've got critical hit decks for players, critical fail decks, they've got three or four different options to choose, we've been playing with a couple of them, they've been really fun, that adds another RP mechanic to
right,
the games,
right.
and the effects are things that most players at DMs don't think of
yeah.
fly. So.
Quadruple damage.
Yeah.
Losing a limb.
Yeah.
Make a con save or be stunned.
Do you want to pull one out from each deck? And
yeah, sure. Why not? I've got
give
the
us an example.
In front of me. Critical hit deck. So I just rolled a natural 20. And it's sorted by what type of attack was it?
Yeah.
So is it melee ranged? And in this one, I'll pick the melee here. And it says sweep the legs.
Nice.
So I get maximum damage, and the target must make a DC 14 dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, that target is knocked prone. So it's not just the max damage, it's also now you've
right.
swept
now
the legs, so you got the roleplay element, and now they're prone for
it's so
your
awesome.
Comrades to attack. Yeah,
that's super good.
That's a great hit. Now here's the other side. I rolled the natural one.
Fail.
And then this time, on the rebound occurs. Your weapon bounces off your target and strikes you in the face.
In the face!
Take the weapon's damage, and I have disadvantage on my next attack.
I love it.
Ouch.
So,
that's fun.
Critical hits and critical misses. Well, critical hits in particular is something that we've struggled with in our group in general. Of it, sometimes it just doesn't feel critical, like
yeah.
Oh, I rolled a natural 20. Woo! The crowd goes wild.
I crit and I rolled two,
and I rolled
two
ones.
Yeah,
it's
so this it gives you that extra oomph, pizzazz to it.
It's a little
so
excitement. Yeah,
even
it
if
does.
You don't roll great on one of your things,
oh, I rolled 3 damage, but you're now prone, so everybody else for the rest of this round can come over
exactly.
And literally
and now you
coup
have
de grace
damage
you
on
in
it.
The face.
I've also noticed at our table when we pull these out, everyone pauses, and they're just focused on it, like, what's he going to draw?
What's coming?
This development of drama layered into the meta level. It's pretty fun.
It's super cool. Joe?
So, recently, in this last little one-shot that I did, we started to use the dice tower behind the DM screen for certain checks for all of the PCs.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the players rolling perception, let's say, out on the table, the player took their die, put it in the dice tower, and then told me what their mod was. So I knew their roll plus their mod. They still got to do the roll, so the DM wasn't rolling it for them. Mm-hmm. But then, based off of that, I was able to tell them, well, you don't hear anything, well, you think you see this, or yes, it's plain as day. And I thought that was pretty cool because it kind of eliminated the, well, I know I rolled a 2, so I don't think anything's there, but I rolled perception, so I know something's there.
And then someone else wants to roll.
Or everybody else going, all right, the other 6 of us are going to roll perception now, too.
Well,
and then it just taking that time out of the game.
I agree. Well, something I think is a little more interesting than perception is something like insight.
Yeah, I mean, that too. Perception is just kind of
just an example.
Thing, but yeah, perception, insight. I mean, you can even do like your deception rolls or things like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lie to you. I don't actually know if you believe me or not.
Right.
So in that case, you as the DM can play that situation however you want and be like, yeah, okay.
Right.
And they could have rolled a 1 mm-hmm. on that and had no modifier.
So take the metagaming out of it.
I completely know you're lying to me, but I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. And then as soon as you turn around to walk out, I'm going to call the police mm-hmm. or I'm going to stab you in the back.
Yeah, I like it. We've done that with a stealth check too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go hide over here. All right, here's my hide modifier. I think I'm hidden.
Yeah,
like, I stuck my head in behind the crate, but you know my butt was sticking out. I didn't recognize it.
I totally
know
stuck
that.
My head in that hole. I can't see you.
Right.
Oh wait, you can still.
I love
see
the roleplay element of that. It's like, well, I think I'm hidden. It's like, yeah, you think you're,
yeah,
you're good
yeah.
at it. Here's my mod is good. I think I did good.
I got a +9 to my
exactly.
stealth. Well, you rolled a 2. Well, that's 11, and his passive perception is a 16.
Yeah,
right.
Lee and I talked about you know how to solve for that. I thought it was a pretty good solution. I first heard about it. Matthew Colville had a bit on he was saying that this is why Dungeon Masters should roll. And I don't agree with it. It takes away some of the,
I mean,
the involvement
and
the agency of the
well,
characters.
I don't
want to
roll for you
yes.
and then tell you.
Right.
Like, I rolled a 2 for you and I'm going to tell you how you feel about the situation. Like,
no.
No,
and part of the fun of the game is rolling the dice. So you
exactly.
still get to roll the dice
so,
as a player.
Yeah, throwing it in that
and
dice
here's my mod. Yeah.
Gives you the ability to still go over there and roll
yeah.
it.
Let's get house
the
roll.
DM doesn't touch the die,
well,
can't affect it, can't be like, he's going to roll a percent. I'm going to use my crap mm-hmm. dice that always rolls 2s and 3s.
Exactly.
You failed that check.
And it made me really nervous, like, running it when we played in your one-off that was 3 games long.
Yeah, my 3-session one-off.
Your mini campaign.
Don't run level 20 unless you know how to run level 20.
Yeah, that was intense. But it made me really nervous to make these checks because I was like, I know I have a +15 to stealth. Like,
you're
any
good.
Situation, I am good. But I rolled, like, I put it in this slot and I rolled it behind the table. And, like, I'm still nervous about it.
Because
it affects
the whole party, yeah.
What if you're on one?
This is a big deal.
Right.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it keeps
cool.
you focused as a role player. You're like, okay,
yeah,
I liked it. It's still trying to do
it,
whether I think I did it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes some adjusting, but I really like
it. Does.
It's good.
It does.
It's
and
a good one.
We had to put some padding on that down.
We did. That thing was so loud.
It was so loud. Well, I mean, we have a range of plastic and metal dice
right.
that we're throwing through this wooden
I've been
tube.
Using my metal dice, thank you.
Yeah.
These things are just loud on the table.
The level up aluminum dice, man. Those are the
so
best
nice,
dice
though.
Ever.
They're so light.
The best dice
Straight.
Ever. So good.
They're so expensive, but they're so nice.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, that's not what this
so
episode's about.
My, I asked the internet. Mm. I'm cheating right now. I asked the internet about what house rules they use the table. Does it replace an existing rule? Is it something that isn't covered by the system or whatever? Something that I got from Prestige Podcast on Twitter, they said shields can be sacrificed to avoid damage from one attack. At first, I was
sacrifice shields.
I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, I don't know how I feel about that. And then, like, as I kept thinking about it, like, okay, you get your +2 to AC, right?
You're
throwing a shield. It's kind of whatever, but, I mean, you've got this attack coming. You have the choice to then use your shield, and then it's gone. Like, there goes that +2.
Got shattered, broken, sacrificed it.
Yeah. Sacrificed.
But it's gone. This potentially massive amount of damage.
Right.
From whatever.
But your shield's gone forever.
I like it.
And
I do like that.
Actually. It's a pretty interesting safety net of I have to choose if I want to take this damage or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because once, if I don't take it, my AC is going to lower. And I can't do that again unless I go and get another shield.
But that's what it makes me want to do.
Do you choose that after you know that the attack has hit and what you know the damage is? Do you have to pick that before? Be like, this attack hits. Are you going to negate the damage? Or are you going to take the damage?
The sacrifice.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that and kind of like Vicious Mockery from a Bard is they have to call it before the end result is made. So you have to say, like, you've got a dragon in front of you that's taking a big, deep inhale. Like, you've got to say, I'm going to sacrifice my shield to negate all damage.
That makes it interesting if you have like a Spellguard shield or something you really want to hold on to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd be sacrificing that one. It makes me, as a role player, like, everything starts to look like a shield around
everything.
The
that table is totally a shield. Hey, that door we kicked in
I'm
going to
go grab and pick that up. Sacrifice this thing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It could be abused a little bit, maybe, but if done right, I think it could add a lot of flavor to the gameplay.
Mm-hmm. So,
what's some of the other ones they said?
Something else that... Well, I want to ask you guys a question first. Sleep spell.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen it used effectively?
Nope. I've tried to use it ineffectively.
Well, there's so many instances where it goes wrong. You know, if you don't hit everybody, then they can wake everybody up.
Yeah, and how the hit...
Like, you cast sleep.
You cast sleep.
And you get X number that you roll or something like that.
Yeah.
But if they have 52 hit points and you roll 50, then nothing happens.
Right.
Yeah. So this was a house rule. Sleep spell affects a number of targets within the area of spell effect equal to the sum of your proficiency bonus and your spell casting stat.
That's cool.
It buffs it up a lot.
So I would maybe say that.
So that's
plus like a
it
con
just counts
save?
Creatures regardless of the size or cost. So I could put a dragon to sleep.
Yeah, that'd be difficult.
Right.
That feels hacky.
See, that's why I say I think that needs a con save from the creature.
Yeah.
Like you are casting the sleep. I'm gonna try and force myself to not go
to
sleep.
I do like it. It's simpler. It's just counting creatures.
Yeah.
I agree.
I like that much better.
I like
than
the
hit
simplicity
points.
Of that, but it's too powerful almost. So.
It is pretty potent.
It needs some balance to
be like a wisdom
save. I like exploring that idea.
Yeah.
So I've got one I want to ask y'all about. And this is one that I thought about a lot during that one shot. Crits on skill checks.
I don't feel like they are criticals.
I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's always cool to roll a 20, and it's always devastating to roll a 1.
Mm-hmm.
But on skill checks, I don't feel like it really matters.
Oh. So you want to go with the number value, whatever the minus plus the roll.
Because I feel like on a skill check, if I'm doing this and I'm doing it well, just because I did it a little bit better doesn't mean I'm going to jump from here to here. Okay, it takes a 10 to jump from here to here.
Or how
I rolled a 20, I still jump from here to here.
Yeah. Or like how a gnome could push a boulder if he rolled a strength save. Yeah.
Exactly. Like it's not, I don't feel like on ability checks that should be an automatic anything.
I'm not to play a devil's advocate, but I think it should always matter.
Why?
Because there's always a chance. So, like, you can't make that jump. The DC's 22, and my mod is plus one. I couldn't make it. But if I rolled a 20, man, I should feel like I grabbed a little bit of that edge and pulled myself up. Like, I want the heroic moment.
So how about something like this? Or the epic fail, right? You roll a 20 or a 1 on a skill check, almost how, I don't remember if it was other editions or something like that, had you, like, validate a crit? Where if you rolled a crit, you had to roll something else to make it an actual crit.
Right.
What if you did something like that with the ability checks? You roll a 20.
That would be interesting.
Roll something else, a percentile or something like that. And if you get a certain percent, then yes, it automatically succeeds. And if you don't, then no, it doesn't.
You can change the.
So you got to roll
number.
That 20, and then you have to roll between 90 and 100 or something like that.
Yeah. I think
it feels a little crunchy, but yeah,
I could go for something like that.
I do like the crits meaning something else. As a player, it's like
it is.
That's just fun to roll a 20.
I want to try.
Take away the fun, man.
I want to try for the impossible, and I got a 20. Like,
but even sometimes sitting here as a player,
like I got this. I'm so good at this. No, you trip. Like your shoe was okay. Whatever. You rolled the one,
even though you have a plus 16.
You roll that one, and yeah, you have a plus 16. I'm like, I want to push this thing. Okay, just beat a 10. Ah, crap! I rolled a 1, but I have a plus 10, so I rolled an 11 anyway. So technically, I would be able to do this.
Yeah,
but that one should mean something in my world. But
what do you think, Kyle?
I mean, I like the fact that it gives you an option if you're trying to do something that's just physically impossible. But, I mean, I also really like the heroic moment, so I could see where it could be useful.
Mm-hmm.
I could also see where...
To combat that, you're doing something that is physically possible. I want to pick up this crate and throw it at this guy. Mm-hmm. Make a dex check for me. You rolled a 1. You can't pick up the crate.
Yeah.
Or, like, something's happened, or whatever.
Your
like,
back is out.
Yeah. That happened to me the other day, folding socks. But we don't talk about that. Yeah.
Well, similar to that.
Competitive folding socks.
Similar to that, and me being pro natural ones and natural 20s, let's take that to initiative. Regardless of my initiative modifier, if I roll a 20, I want to go first.
I 100% agree with that.
I want to go first. I rolled the 20. You're a plus 4. You rolled an 18. I'm plus 0, and I roll a 20.
That...
By rules, you go first, but
right?
I rolled the 20, man.
That makes me cringe.
At one point in time, I get to step in front of you. I was just thinking quicker.
That honestly makes me cringe.
That came up in my list, too, when I asked people. So,
I like that. I
think it's good. Well, I think it matters.
I think it's a good option for someone who's really stingy on... I wouldn't say stingy, it's a bad word, but like... you know, would a tabaxi rogue have the better, you know, initiative chance than, let's say, a half-orc barbarian, something like that.
Sure, but then that half-orc rolls the 20. He, like, for whatever reason, he had this intuition.
He was ready for it.
He sniffed the right smell in the air that time and
so,
stepped in front of the tabaxi.
Another one that came up that was super interesting from second-rate DM. They said...
Nice name.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I like
whatever
it.
Works for you.
Absolutely.
They allow their wizards to, quote-unquote, burn pages in their spell books to be used as a scroll.
This is like the shield sacrifice, almost, except
for
wizards.
Right,
so
except
for
wizards.
Out, page
they,
out of?
They tear it out so, of mm-hmm. their and destroy
the last
it.
Last-ditch effort, man.
Right.
I'm out of spells.
I'm out of spells. I'm going to tear this out of my book, and I'm going to throw it at you.
Oh, and
cast it.
Okay, gotcha.
And now I have to then find that spell written somewhere else and write it down in order to relearn it because now it's gone. I don't have it anymore. I can't cast that spell anymore.
That's a cool option.
It's no longer a spell known.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
But if it's a moment where you have to save the life of your party, that's a cool.
That could be a
kind of
heroic moment.
I mean, life and death. That
it probably doesn't come to the play much.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Right. It'd be cool if it did.
And kind of in line with that, another one that I got was, so classes and races have their daily things that they can do, right? Like second wind or whatever that may be. So this is saying that after you've used it, so I've used second wind already, and now I am at death's door, and like in a last ditch effort, I'm going to use all of my might to do it again. I then take whatever level that is, if that's a third level thing for my class, I take third level exhaustion.
Okay, I can see that.
You know what I feel about exhaustion. I think it's an underused mechanic that we need to find a way to get into the game somehow. So yeah, I'm on board with that.
I do like that. That last ditch.
It's the last push ditch
yourself
effort.
Past the point of breaking to try and make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
Consequences be damned. I'll deal with it later.
Right.
Well, kinetics. Exhaustion feels like right now just a random DM tool that he gets to hand out when he feels like it.
That I totally forget about all the time.
But this gives the power of exhaustion. Like, I can choose to exhaust myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, so, like,
that's cool.
Second wind is what?
It is cool. I think the third level?
It says two or three, something like that. Somewhere in there. So,
you'd be exhausted.
That's a big deal.
Push myself for that second wind in a day, and now two levels of exhaustion on me.
I'm all for more exhaustion in the game because I think it's a cool mechanic.
I mean, I think that can add a lot to it because then you're like, I pushed myself so far, like, mm-hmm. I can't go adventure tomorrow. I need to rest for a couple more days.
Yeah, I just can't do it.
Like, oh, long rest. I'm straight. Everything's back to good.
Well,
whatever. I died three times yesterday, but...
And then, like, you're in the middle of a cave or whatever, and your fighter's down and out. Like, they are down and out. Like, because you use that last-ditch effort to win the last battle, but you're still there. Like, you still gotta get out. You gotta get somewhere safe that you can rest for a few days, that you can recover. And recover appropriately, I think, is another big deal.
Like, speaking of, there's not really a way to prematurely recover exhaustion, is there?
No, you gotta rest.
That literally is you have to rest, and it's when you regain one level per day.
I think so.
For sleep.
So,
for
sleep, if you have five levels of exhaustion, you don't lose all of your exhaustion for 5 days.
Right.
Is there a spell that goes against that? I can't remember if
it was.
I don't think so.
Probably a higher level heal. Or
maybe some
or
sort of restoration.
Something we've never gotten to.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
But I like the exhaustion. I'd like for us to consider... you know, when you are unconscious and doing your death saves, however many death saves is a level of exhaustion. So I failed two, but then I bounce back. Well, the next, you're not just back up, you're two levels exhausted.
I think
and
that's
you're
great.
Back up.
I mean,
ooh, that could be rough.
Well, but it's more realistic. Like, I just bounce back and I'm back at the battle.
I mean,
but,
I could.
Nah, you're so tired.
I feel like I could kind of meet you in the middle there.
You almost died, dude.
That was a long day.
Right. Like, if you go down, you get one level. Regardless of
how many
failed saves,
so then when you come back from two, you're level three.
Yeah, he's saying just only one.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is
only one.
I think that's interesting.
But first level exhaustion is not that bad. It's
no
disadvantage on skill checks. Yeah,
it's like skill checks.
You went unconscious. You came back. Now you're a little fuzzy in the head.
Well,
so you're a little uncoordinated.
Can't focus. Right.
Regardless of whether I was down for one round or two rounds or. Five rounds through
but
all
if
five
I felt
checks.
Two death saves, man. I almost that's as close to dying as I can die. A little foggy.
But I guess it depends on how you think of those death saves.
Well,
yeah.
I like to view health. I think we've talked about this before in our group at least.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like to think of it as health points. I like to see it as stamina.
Yes.
Right.
So it is. This is your ability to keep going in life. So if you've been knocked down,
you've lost your ability to keep going,
like, it's not, oh, I feel better,
all of a sudden
I
got it back,
happy.
Yeah.
But see, that's why with the death saves, I don't feel like a death save is okay. I'm trying to muster and something knocks me down. I'm trying to muster and something knocks me down.
Yeah,
I feel that the death saves are more of like a an extent of time, like how long it takes me to recover, and if I take too long to recover from this, I don't recover.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't know, that's where, at least personally, where the whole, like, each one of them knocking me down another level would suck.
Well, we've been on both sides of house rules already, and you can see why house rules are so touchy.
Yeah.
And you've got to fit the group, and you got to make sure that everyone agrees up front. It's a session zero topic,
right?
And we write them down here, the house rules that we all agree to play.
Exactly. I think it's important in making sure everybody's on the same page and everybody's cool with it. Even if everybody doesn't have the same opinion, like, that's fine. You don't have to agree with me, but
But I'll go along with it.
Be yeah, cool sure. with
are
it.
Are you going to like, go with this or yeah, not? Yeah. Or in 10 games when this happens, are you going to get a stick up your butt
exactly. and throw a Well, and I think like with critical rolls, like we used to do max damage plus roll.
Yes. Right,
was how we did crits before. And then like you get up to facing a red dragon and they crit like on a fire Dead. Breath, it's max damage plus roll. Right. Because I don't think it should be only for players, not for monsters.
Yeah, no, it should be both ways.
It should be both
ways. But there's potentially 160 damage.
Yep. Exactly.
Like that.
Or if we're drawing cards, then monsters draw cards.
Right. It goes both ways.
But I think the biggest thing with house rules, is, aside from agreeing on them, is be flexible with them.
Yeah.
I mean, just like what we said, you know, most people don't play with any type of exhaustion from it.
Right.
Brad likes one level per death save. You can meet in the middle.
Sure.
One level per down. Right. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah. With your shields, it has to be an actual shield that you sacrifice. Not I'm picking up this table as a shield.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you can always find that happy medium with your house rules to find something that's going to fit your group and fit your table and maybe not make everybody happy all of the time, but be something that everybody can live with, and each person's going to find some enjoyment in some aspect of one of your house rules.
Kyle, you've been so quiet.
I've been listening with bated breath. No, I really enjoy it.
Well, so I think something here is, I know Brad, Joe, and I have all run games before, like, two and
fairly extensively.
Extensive, yeah, sure.
At least to some degree.
Right, and you've run a few one-shots for us, but from a DM's perspective, it's not quite there. So from a player's perspective, like, I would like to know your insights, kind of house rules in general, or whatever.
I think it gets interesting when you're used to playing like one system and then you go to a completely new system because your expectations go from one way, they change. Mm-hmm. For example, years ago, when I was playing 3.5, our DM had this rule where if your body is destroyed and you're resurrected, he had a system that you could it could be a whole different body. You could have started off as an elf and you come back as an orc. And that changes with your racial stats and everything
Is it random? Or was it random?
He had a table. Oh, you had to roll for it.
Yeah.
But
that's not the first time I've heard that, actually.
Okay, yeah. Good. And if you're used to that.
Only if you die and your body is destroyed.
Yeah, there's no way of bringing it back in.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's really big. You have to, the clarity when you're starting out or when you're jumping into a game that's already existing and people have been used to that for so long.
So don't just join around a table without asking what are your house rules
Absolutely.
First.
Exactly.
What's your house rules?
Because it could make or break.
Because you can get into that nightmare situation. Like, I was a player in a campaign not that long ago where they wanted to go with some interesting stuff. Like, we used the Greyhawk Initiative.
Mm.
And we used the three pillars for leveling instead of, you know, the standard experience or milestones or whatever. And then there are a couple other things like, you know, we always do, well, when we played with an actual mat and minis and whatnot, we had flanking gave you advantage.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. Theirs was like a +2 to hit if you were flanking instead of having advantage.
So it's the anti-cover.
So basically,
Yeah.
So
I like that.
You kind of got to know these things because, like, for me, jumping in from standard initiative, experience, you know, per your CR and monsters and yada, 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 and then advantage on flanking, jumping into a +2 instead, Greyhawk Initiative just messed me up terribly. Mm-hmm. I had a bad experience with it, at least personally. Yeah. I don't know if we were doing it right or not, but not a fan. The three pillars, though, was very interesting, in my opinion, for leveling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it went very quickly at first. Like, we literally were going one level per session for the first three sessions, just about.
Yeah.
But then it starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger, obviously, as you go further, because, you know, this much monster meant this much at, you know, level one or level two, but now at level 10, this much monster means about this much, so you got to take out a whole lot more of them.
Right. I
feel like it gave a little more balance for groups that are more RP heavy and things like that, because it mattered. The monsters you fought It mattered how well you RP'd through situations. And basically it was like talking your way out of this is a situation. You got this much experience for it.
Yeah.
You know,
getting through this city was this situation. You get this much experience for it. So I feel like that at least kind of gave you a little bit more of a broad, I can get experience for doing more than slaying monsters.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's important. And I personally like to give experience for just about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you've done a good job as a player or you've done something above and beyond, like, I think it really matters. But obviously, we have a lot of cool house rules and a lot of feels about all of these cool
house rules.
Yeah,
this could be like an 8-part
or 3.
This is something that we might need to return to. But for now, if you enjoyed this, leave us a review. And don't forget to visit our website at mageproductions.com if you'd like to get in contact with us.
But where can they leave us a review?
Wherever. I'm pretty sure I've put us on just about everything now because people have asked me, like, oh, I listen to you on Podburner, whatever. I don't think that's a thing. But, and I'm be like, okay, let's Google that and let's put me on there. And now we're available there. So.
Nice. And if there's something you'd like us to talk about, let us know in the comments.
Yes. Well, and there's a contact page. There's not really a comment section on podcasts.
But there are reviews where you're like, this is cool. Talk about this.
I guess, there you go. Okay.
Or follow us on social media.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. You can always hit just about most of us up. And
or just call me.
Or just call Brad. Just call Brad. His
personal
phone number is
875-309.
Cool.
Cool.
Awesome.
God. This is going to end weird, isn't it? Yeah.